Mr. Jordan redefined that, and then we moved forward after that.
No, I think Mr. James and his friends redefined that. Michael couldn't travel.
What? You're kidding, right? Is that really how you feel about that?
Yeah, actually it is.
You think that Jordan never traveled? Is that what you're trying to say?
Why would you go, Jordan never traveled?
I know what I'm saying is you don't think that Jordan redefined the game as far as traveling was concerned?
No.
Who did, Dr. J? Who?
No, I think it's more of a modern era thing where guys are traveling like crazy.
Oh, I thought it was. I'm still heartbroken over our teams that when Jordan just decided to take as many steps as he wanted to. But he made the game better. At the end of the day, it doesn't matter.
All right, fine.
Daryl Ryder at 11 o'clock, and then hopefully in the noon hour, we'll be talking about what the quarterbacks have to say as the veterans step out today.
Yep,
so
Bubba.
I'm looking forward to that. Joe Flacco, big controversy yesterday over his lack of reps during the 11-on-11. I saw people pacing up and down the streets out in Berea. They're concerned about that. They're wondering what's going on with that. Why aren't the rookies getting more reps? I mean, this is going to be one of those, paranoid, on-edge kind of camps where we're always wondering everything. We're always trying to get the edge, trying to figure things out. And that's why we are going to go back and listen to a couple of things that Kevin Stefanski had to say yesterday. This is obviously a spot for Kevin now to evaluate. He's got four quarterbacks. Here's what he said about that.
Training camp coverage powered by Classic Ford and Classic Chevy and Mentor.
There you go. So you have that, and then this is what he had to say about putting the quarterbacks in an evaluation position.
The big thing for me is putting our guys in position where we can evaluate them. I think they did a great job in the spring, all four of those guys. We'll continue to put them in some situations, but ultimately, we'd love to make a decision sooner than later.
Oh, that sooner was the big later. One. That sooner was the
than,
big one.
Sooner than later, Andy. That's exactly what we want to hear, baby.
Let's what does that a guy mean? Out. What does that mean? I've listened to Mary Kay Cabot say numerous times on our season, and write about it, that she thinks by the time they're done practicing with Philly, they need to kind of have this thing figured out.
I think that's fun, interesting, maybe the truth.
Okay.
You know, I would think, based on what he just said, after the Philly game, we might have an answer. Yeah?
Yeah.
After the joint practices and all that?
I know you're... I'm not making light of it, Justin Fields getting hurt this morning. I'm just... I said this like right out of the gate. When you've got four quarterbacks, someone is going to be valuable to someone else. I don't care if people think the Browns are going to be the 33rd team in the NFL this year. When you have four quarterbacks, especially when you have two that have somewhat experience and one's got... a megaton of experience, and the other one is still trying to find his way and maybe was in just different positions where things went sideways and he could have a good career, and we'll hopefully hear from both those guys later today. I think that one of those guys will be more valuable to another team than they will be to the Browns if they want to see what these two rookies are about. And I'm hard-pressed to find anybody that doesn't want to see what the rookies look like. And does that mean you are playing these guys and foregoing winning? I think that's part of the question that plays out. And it's also the reason why I don't believe they're going to have four quarterbacks when this thing starts.
Yeah, you and I differ on this. They could have possibly four quarterbacks up until the start of training or the season.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't be the least bit surprised if they carry three and try and stash one. And
are they going to stash? I don't.
Well, you can just put them there if unless a guy is going to get claimed on the practice squad, and again, maybe somebody is clamoring for our quarterbacks. You know, as soon as Will Levis gets hurt in Tennessee, mm-hmm. people are thinking, here we go, and Justin Fields gets hurt. You earlier, wait a minute, here they go. Maybe going to the Jets. Can I temper that by saying this? Every team in the league had a chance to trade for Kenny Pickett. Browns got him for next to nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Every team in the league had a chance to sign Joe Flacco.
Mm-hmm.
He sat looking for a gig for a long time. And every team in the league had a chance to draft Dillon Gabriel and Shedeur Sanders several times. not one of our quarterbacks was a pressing need for anybody. And that's why I wonder, that's why I don't think that the Browns are like, oh, look, we've got commodities to sell. What are you going to get for any of these guys? That might be, Andy, why I think that they're going to try and keep all four.
And this is why
they want to find out if one of these guys can be the guy.
Because at the time, prior to July 24th or 23rd, you're right, Jeff, they didn't have a pressing need. But now they do. And look at this. You're like, I got to bring in a quarterback with a little bit of experience. Give me something. I got to feel better about where, because every team needs to have two quarterbacks. I'll say that till I'm blue in the face.
Well,
and the fact that when we went to 17 games.
I'm waiting for
you
to be blue in the face, by the way. You say it a lot.
Oh, I am. Well, I'm
glad I've never seen you be blue in the face.
It's happened before. I was once at a fine establishment, well known to those on the Heights, Lee Road, that I think they changed names.
Right.
And I was just sitting there enjoying a beverage with one of my friends. And
I didn't mean the whole story. Sorry.
Well, you asked for it. You're going to get it. And I was eating a peanut, and the peanut got lodged into my throat. And suddenly, it was bad news. And I will thank one of Cleveland's finest, a man named Andy Gibb, who I went to high school with, who was standing behind me at the time. And he walked up behind me, and boom, he hit me in the chest, and the peanut went flying. So I have been blue in the face, and I do thank my good friend Andy for at least saving me in that moment.
Would you like a peanut?
Thank you.
I have some right here.
Why am I not surprised that you are offering me peanuts right now? Like, if I said to Dan, I'm allergic to peanuts, Jeff would be like, oh, would you like some of these planters? And I'd be like, no, thanks.
Good to be here on Menigan and Phelps.
A little bit of news, gentlemen. Aaron Glenn speaking to the media saying Justin Fields suffered a toe injury on his right foot. He does not know the severity yet. He thinks someone likely stepped on Fields' toe, but he needs to check the tape to confirm.
Do we now call that a Garland, or do we call it a Sergeant Hulka?
Wow. We don't know which toe, so you don't want to assume.
Well, it may not be the great toe.
May not be the great toe.
All right, so that still takes us back to my conversation with you about, I understand the argument that you laid out, but I also think that at the time, someone didn't need another quarterback.
If I'm the Browns, I'm not giving up any of these quarterbacks until I'm convinced one of them can't play. And then that's the guy I'm going to try and get rid of.
So
until then, I'm looking at all of them.
I think that in the land of the NFL, where everything is scrutinized and organized and reorganized, the Browns have some sort of plan. I have to believe they had some sort of, they had to have a plan going into yesterday that said that Joe Flacco isn't going to take a lot of reps on the 11-11, and whether he needs them or he doesn't need them, or they want to see what the young guys look like because they know what the older guys can do. I get it. But somehow or another, that plan's got to be set into ink at some point.
All things depth chart, certainly quarterback. I have a plan that's in pencil. We have to take in information every single day, take in how guys are handling certain situations, and then adjust from there. But we'll get to those type of decisions later on.
It's hard. I think when you're a team that is a 3-win team coming back into the next season, trying to figure out, everything's in pencil. And I think winners don't have to do that. Winners know exactly what they're doing. They are succinct in everything that happens. Everything is planned out to the moment. And you shouldn't have to put things in pencil because you have, you know, you've got guys that have, you know, things tattooed. They're so permanent that they understand what's coming up next. I mean, do you think things are being penciled in Kansas City? I don't think so. Philadelphia, maybe. Depends how they run it. But I think that when you're the Browns, you're in this flux situation where you've got to keep throwing darts at the dartboard. So
why I don't want to give up on any of these guys, Andy. That's my point. Not that I don't think all four of these guys are great shakes. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It's like, oh, great. Look at the great caliber of quarterback we have. What they have are four guys, and they don't know which one is going to be their starter. They don't know if any of the four is going to be worth a hoot.
So the other part of this, and I brought this up before, is, you know, because we've heard about reps that Flacco did or didn't get yesterday. And I agree. We shouldn't make a big deal about that. But we all know that as things are in pencil, this is the way they play out. Here's Stefanski.
I think you'll see at a bunch of different positions, we will work guys in different areas. So I know it will get reported. It will change tomorrow. So I'd caution you to read too much into it until we get much later on.
And hopefully that's Philadelphia, right? That's once you get to like the last preseason game, or at the point where, okay, are we trying to figure out who's one, who's two, who's three? And so I think we just have to wait and see. He's right. I get it.
Of course he's right. He's the coach.
And that doesn't necessarily mean he's right.
Well, if he's making the call,
You have a microphone in front of you, and people expect you to be an expert, but I know you're not always right.
Huh. You're talking to my wife.
I think our wives must be sisters. Oh, man. All right, so what is the preseason quarterback plans for the reps for these guys? He tried to answer that with this.
I think remains to be seen. Again, have a plan. Want to talk through that with the coaches as we get into those type of games. You know, this is the first time where we've had a preseason practice versus our week one opponent. So that, how does that factor into some of the decision makings for that game as well?
All right. There you have it, Jeff.
Kevin danced around a lot of things. He always does.
Yeah.
But the thing that I took out of the closest thing he said to anything to me that gave me some thought was when he said sooner rather than later. You know, he could have easily said, we're going to go through the entire preseason and we'll name somebody before game one. But he didn't. Sooner rather than later.
All right, let's roll on some more info that we got from yesterday. And again, we're going to hear from the quarterbacks later today, so I'm looking forward to that. The veteran quarterbacks speak today, and we'll be hearing that. So let's do this. I want to dive into Quinshon Judkins and what's going on with that situation. And, you know, as far as the impact on the team, Stefanski talked about that, so we will do that next right here, Baskin and Phelps. Don't forget Daryl Ryder coming up a little bit later in the show at 11 o'clock. You know, we did talk significantly in that first segment or second segment about Kevin Stefanski and, you know, where we are with the quarterback situation and penciling guys in and trying to figure out what they should do with the quarterback situation. And Jeff and I have this continuing conversation about the worth of having four quarterbacks in camp and when to make the decision.
Do you think it's the worth?
Yeah, I do.
I don't think it's the worth. I just think that they have to figure out if one of them can be the starter and be confident in that guy being the starter. And then they have to figure out if one of them has no chance at all. And if one of them just doesn't look good or does, then you can move on from them.
But is that strictly Flacco versus Pickett?
No, Andy, I think it's wide open. You know, I know that Flacco is the veteran and he's got the big resume and everything else. Mm-hmm. There's a reason that he hasn't had a ton of success since he's left the Ravens. And there's a reason that he's had numerous times chances to sign with other teams in the past, and he hasn't. Could Joe step in?
Well, he also chose not to at one point. Remember when he was sitting on the couch?
Could he step in and do a nice job here? Yeah, maybe he'll be the guy and he'll do okay this year. And maybe Pickett has more upside than Joe because he's a lot younger and a lot more mobility. Maybe that fits better with his offense. I personally hope that, you know, Pickett can be the guy because I'd like to see somebody who, by chance, perhaps can be a long-term answer here.
Davis is in Cleveland. Hey, Davis, how are you?
Hey, good morning, everybody.
Good morning, Davis. To you.
It's fantastic. All right. Thanks a lot, Andy, for that heads up and that information. I really didn't know that. But so I'm kind of, coming in on the tail end of your previous conversation, but talking about the quarterbacks, actually, I wouldn't mind bringing Joe in to start, just to give him a try, just because he was successful other than the playoff game, and then making Pickett, you know, your second option. But I would keep Deion Sanders' son in some kind of way, let him develop, and he can possibly be the quarterback of the future. I know some.
Are you rooting for one in particular, Dave?
You know what? I'm actually rooting for Sanders in a sense. You know, I like kind of what he's doing in the community so far. It might be publicity, but I kind of like what he's kind of developing here. And then in my eyes, and in some of the original Browns fans or some of the longtime Browns fans, we want to see a winner here eventually. Not saying that he is going to do that for the team, but I believe that he can be a great leader for this team in some kind of way if they get the right system for him. That's kind of just what I see, and I like that. I know some people may disagree, and that's fine. But like I said, since the Browns coming off a not-so-good year last year, I would go with Flacco this year, him and Pickett, and then let Sanders develop, you know, this season, and bring him in at some point next year, depending on how this season turns out, you know, something like that.
All right, Davis. Thank you. We appreciate your opinion. Have a fantastic day, my friend. Davis checking in on the quarterbacks. Okay, there's another thing I want to talk about when it comes to what was said yesterday and Quinshon Judkins, you know, the situation is it's up in the air. We don't know how long he's going to be out for. I think most people are just you put the bar when you've got domestic violence allegations at six games, trying to figure that out. And Kevin talked a little bit about the situation with Quinshon Judkins yesterday.
On the Quinshon Judkins situation, I don't have much to add. These are things that we take very, very, very seriously. We're gathering information. I don't have much to add on that situation.
All right. And I think that's the way it's going to be. I mean, I don't know if we need to hear the legal part of this first? Do we need to hear from the league? I think the league's going to jump out before there's any legal stuff and just say, investigation's going on. We don't like it. You're suspended indefinitely or you're suspended X amount of games and we'll reevaluate once we have more information on this. I think the harder part for him is that, and for all of us in trying to figure out what his future might be, is the fact that he doesn't have a contract right now. It's a horrible look for the organization if they decide to sign him, especially the guaranteed money right now with what's going on.
Difficult, so, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it's not.
I mean, that's rough.
Well, what are the Browns supposed to do? He put them in a really weird spot by being in this spot. You know, guilty, not guilty, doesn't matter.
Whatever it is, it's a bad look for him. And if the Browns are to embrace him now and give him guaranteed money, Andy, you're absolutely right. That's a bad look for the organization.
And the league. So I mean, it makes the league look bad, too.
Well, yeah, it does.
So
it does.
And we spent a lot of time when this first went down, you know, what does the league do? What does the team do? How do they try to avoid these situations? Mary Kay talked about it this morning where – you know, 2 years in a row, you've had similar allegation and no prior reason to believe that those allegations would come out again once these guys became professionals. And, you know, so can you be mad at a team? You can't predict things going sideways in a way that's going to get you suspended. So they also talked a little bit more about, you know, taking this seriously and making sure that players understand this, especially rookies.
This is something I take very seriously. We take very seriously. It's not something that we want to be a part of. We want to be shining the light on the good things that our guys are doing in this community. Having said that, the league mandates a certain amount of education in all areas, certainly in this area, and we decide to go above and beyond that, and we will continue to do that.
Yeah, I think the Browns have actually been really good at making sure that the players are informed with what they need to know. It's not like I think most teams don't. They'd rather spend more money up front to make sure things don't happen than to have to start spending money on the back end. And we all know kind of where the Browns are with that situation because the Deshaun situation was so groundbreaking, probably the best way to put it, just because we had just never really seen anything like that before based on the guaranteed money that he had. And then the extended period of suspension that I don't think any of us saw coming, especially the front office. But by the same token, they thought they had a quarterback that could lead them to the Super Bowl after Baker Mayfield, and that just has not come to fruition. And we're sitting here arguing about four quarterbacks rather than having one guy that we're like, oh, yeah, made the playoffs last year. I feel really good about this year. And not sitting around arguing whether they're the 30th, 31st, or 32nd best team in the league.
Heavy sigh, deep breath. You know, I agree with you, Andy. I can't believe where the bar is set for like the over-under on this season. And it's the optimistic time of the year. Just feels to me like, let's get out there. Let's play some games. This team, forgive me for saying this, can't be that bad, can it?
I hope not. The defense alone makes me think that they're not going to be that bad.
I agree with you on that.
I had an argument.
I really do.
I didn't have an argument. I had a relative. We'll call him relative. That was like, oh, they're going to win 7 or 8 games this year, and I'm just like, who, and what are they going to look like after the first 6 games are a meat grinder. They are, and I don't wish that. I don't wish the schedule on anybody right now, let alone a team that's trying to figure out who their quarterback is. But if the defense can play the way they're supposed to, and this team jumps out,
They're better than last year on defense, even if they don't approach what they did 2 years ago, it should be a much better football team.
If they can figure out a way to get in the end zone 3 times a game, and the defense plays it the way you just laid it out, that they could be a halfway decent team this year. I'm not expecting playoffs. I think you'd be a fool to.
I would agree with that.
Think that they're going to make the playoffs. I would agree that with situation. That. So, all right, Daryl Ryder is going to join us coming up at 11 o'clock. Don't forget, we're going to have the quarterbacks coming up in the noon hour. I know this business gets a little crazy sometimes, and sometimes I think we need to take a step back and appreciate some things. And I know you wanted to bring something up.
So. Yeah. A longtime friend of mine passed away and just happened. And if you're a Kent State sports fan, if you grew up in Akron and watched Channel 23 back in the day, Cleveland State basketball, sportscaster Frank DeMarco has passed away. And Frank had been ill recently and in his 70s. When I started in our business, I was an intern at WAKR in Akron, and it was, and it's you amazing. Were too.
Yeah, we both had the same path. Too. Yeah,
and not at the same time.
No.
And Frank was the
following in your footsteps.
There you go. Frank was the sports director, and Frank was a radio guy, and at AKR at the time, radio, AM radio was the king, and the TV thing was just kind of there. And Frank did the TV sports at 6 o'clock, and I interned and got in. And a little before six, my job was to produce the 11 o'clock sportscast, among other things. And Frank was terrific to me, was very, very nice, very helpful. And nobody has to be.
No,
don't. But he was very, very nice and really helpful. And it led to me getting a gig doing color commentary on Kent State football and basketball with Frank doing play-by-play. So we spent a lot of time, you know, at games together and driving back and forth. And for any young broadcaster, it would behoove you to have someone like Frank in your corner. And he was in mine and was really, really helpful and had a big booming voice. If you ever heard Frank do a game, just a big booming voice, and did a really nice job. And more than that, was, you know, really nice to me and other young guys, you know, coming up who worked at AKR. So my thoughts are with his sons, his cousins, and Frank did great work, and he was really, really nice to me.
I know you see this, and I see it too. I notice that sometimes, especially with some younger folks that come through here and they're just starting their career, like I see that pay it forward attitude that you probably, and I don't know if
I had it with Frank,
and that's where it kind of started.
Nev Chandler was the same way with me. I didn't know Nev as well as I knew Frank. But you know, Nev would always look at tapes of mine when I was working in Texas.
Yeah.
And when I was able to get to Cleveland, was always really, really nice. And so, you know, we've had some really good folks. And certainly Frank did a great job as a sports guy. Love listening to him do a game. And he'll be missed.
All right. Kind words. And that was fitting and very nice. Very nice of you to say all those things. All right, let's come back. We'll talk a little bit more sports after this.